Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Bob Thibodeau. Pastor Bob conducts personal interviews with Christian influencers from around the globe, helping Christian authors, recording artists, CEOs, entrepreneurs, nonprofit leaders, and yes, pastors and ministry leaders to get the word out about what they are doing to impact the world with the gospel. Our podcast has been rated in the top 0.5% of all podcasts in the world by ListenNotes.com, so you know your message will be heard. Now, here is your host with today's interview, Pastor Bob Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you are joining us for part two of what has turned into a great three-part interview with Dr. Patrick Melder as we are discussing Bitcoin for churches. Yeah, amen. Dr. Melder was a U.S. Army doctor for 13 years at the Walter Reed Army Medical Center in Washington, D.C., as well as in private practice for ear, nose, and throat surgeon after serving in the military. And he holds over 30 U.S. and international patents and is very passionate about the Great Commission of spreading the gospel to the ends of the earth. Now, he's also a serial entrepreneur. He first learned about Bitcoin way back in 2013, but made his first purchase in 2018 and has held it ever since. He's written extensively about Bitcoin's truths and the impact it has on believers and non-believers. He hosts a weekly podcast called Mission Bitcoin. This is an interview podcast focusing on Bitcoin and Christianity, exploring Christian responsibility and adopting Bitcoin, or how Bitcoin helps Christians align with God's plan and how Bitcoin can be used in Christian missions. He's also authored a great book titled The Christian Case for Bitcoin. Now, if you missed any of the prior episodes, you need to go back and catch up because I do not have the time to cover the things we already discussed. Amen. Now, let's jump back into this great interview with Dr. Patrick Melder. You know, I remember back, we talked before the recording started, you know, I guess, I don't know, 5, 6, 8 years ago, whatever. You know, it could have been a bit more, but it seems like Bitcoin back then, because I was looking at some, you know, places to invest a little bit, and Bitcoin was like, you know, $30 a coin or whatever. But, and I was kind of putting some money into it, but I decided, yeah, this is probably a fad. It's just going to end up going to zero. Have you ever heard others say the same thing? I mean, surely I couldn't be the only one.
You're not. No, absolutely not. I mean, that's the kind of the major objections, Robert, to Bitcoin is it's a scam. It's a fad. It's going to go to zero. You know, even within Christian circles, one of the things I had to struggle with is, you know, is this the mark of the beast? And yeah. I did some study of that. I have a friend of mine that actually wrote a nice article debunking that. But, you know, is it going to go to zero? The question, is it possible that it could go to zero? Yeah, it's possible. But is it likely? No. If you look at the price chart of Bitcoin, it's never gone to zero. And there are real mathematical reasons why it will never go to zero. But that's an objection you have to answer. Is it a scam? No, it's not run by any one person. And, you know, people purchase Bitcoin not from another person. They purchase Bitcoin based on their understanding of it and conviction of it. And of course, you have to go to an exchange or something like that to purchase it. But you're not buying it from, you know, Tesla. So if Bitcoin was made by Tesla, could it be potentially a scam? Yeah, potentially be a scam, but you know, it's not controlled by a single entity. And that's one of the major reasons why it's not a Ponzi scheme as well. No one person controls it. No one is trying to say that you're going to get these sorts of returns from Bitcoin. That's another thing about Ponzi's. There's no complicated paperwork with Bitcoin. Everybody has access to it. So it doesn't even fulfill the basic criteria for a Ponzi scheme. And, you know, honestly, just as from an integrity perspective, I wouldn't be on this podcast if it was a Ponzi scheme. And no one's going to be able to come to me and buy Bitcoin from me. I'm here to just educate people, and I'm not here to promote any certain, you know, website or exchange or anything like that. I'm here to promote and tell Christians about the power of Bitcoin, and hopefully avail themselves of this incredible quote unquote investment opportunity. But I've seen just a tremendous truth within Bitcoin. I've I've led a militant atheist Bitcoiner to the Lord using the truths of Bitcoin. And I just completed discipling him through the book of John. And it was a wonderful experience. And Bitcoin, the truths within Bitcoin that are so parallel to Christianity. And we can go over all that if you want to. But that allowed me to walk this man to faith in Christ.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. You know, I know that I see a lot of governments of this world concerned about Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. You know, why is that?
Well, I think the most fundamental reason for that, Robert, is you know, as Christians, we need to honor governments. They are instituted to protect us, but ultimately, governments are institutions of men, and institutions of men are corrupted, and the way that governments can ultimately control us is through money. And if the government, and the reason for that is, if we think about what money really is, money is time. Okay, so we all say that money's time, but not really understanding what that means is that, you know, the way I like to describe it is, if I walk into a store, a toy store, and I take my dollar bill and I hand it over to the clerk and I exchange it for that plastic toy made in China, I'm taking my time. I'm taking my value because I worked for that money. That's my time. And I'm handing it over to something that is really not worth that much. But we have, over the last several decades, we have lost touch with understanding the connection between money is our time, is our life, and is our labor. And so when the government can create money out of thin air, which is what our government's been doing, you know, 40% of all the money ever created in the United States has been created in the last 18 months. 40% of all the money. So if money is time, they have devalued our time. Okay. So that's why we're all having to work harder, is because they've devalued my time. So I have to work harder to save, so that if I want to retire early, then I'm going to have to work that much harder. And so that's why governments don't like Bitcoin, because it allows me to say, no, I want to opt out of the system. I want to I don't want to be a slave to the government. I want to do with my time what I want. And if you can't manipulate my time, then I can, you know, really just say to heck with you. And that's why ultimately why governments don't like Bitcoin, because if they can't control our time, if they can't control our money, they ultimately can't control us.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And you know, when you're looking at this, you know, so someone says, okay, I'm going to buy the Bitcoin, and you know, they start using or you know, they accumulate this Bitcoin cryptocurrency. How can they use it to buy everyday items that in the world, that, you know, go to the grocery store, things like that? How do they convert it to regular currency?
Okay, that's a great question. So that's one of the major criticisms with Bitcoin at this point. And let's just be clear, when we're talking about Bitcoin, Bitcoin is a cryptocurrency, but Bitcoin is unique among all cryptocurrencies. And there are a lot of reasons why Bitcoin's superior, and Bitcoin will ultimately win in the end. But for the sake of discussion, that's one of the criticisms of Bitcoin. I just got back from El Salvador for a Bitcoin conference. El Salvador legalized Bitcoin as legal tender on September 6th. And in El Salvador, you can walk into a Starbucks, you can walk into a McDonald's, you can go to a beach town on the Pacific coast, and you can actually use Bitcoin to purchase things. So the reason why we can't walk into, you know, Safeway or Kroger right now and purchase things with Bitcoin is because there has to be buy-in from the store or the vendor to actually accept Bitcoin. But that day will come. One of the biggest use cases, or the potential windfalls for a small business or a company to accept Bitcoin, especially if you take credit cards. You know, the Visa, MasterCard services, they charge most businesses about 2 to 3%. And that's of the total charge, right? But we all, if we run businesses, we know that the total charge is not my profit. My profit's probably in a good business, maybe 20 to 30%. So their 2 to 3% service charge is actually upwards of 20 to 30% of my profit. So the beauty of Bitcoin and something we call the Lightning Network, which is on top of Bitcoin, but it's the same thing, you can eliminate those service charges from Visa, MasterCard. So once businesses figure that out and they could actually increase their bottom line profit by 20 to 30%, you'll see more widespread adoption of Bitcoin here in the United States. But you can definitely buy things with Bitcoin. And in fact, there are a lot of websites now. You may not be able to walk into your Safeway and buy, you know, your turkey with Bitcoin, but there are plenty of websites that accept Bitcoin. And I've purchased plenty of things online using Bitcoin.
Wow. Yeah. I think I've seen or heard, I think it's Tesla. You can buy a car through them using Bitcoin.
Yeah. Now. Yep. Like yep. Yeah. But, and you know, just getting back to your question of, you know, converting it to cash, there are plenty of what we call on ramps and off ramps. So there are plenty of ways to convert your US dollars to purchase Bitcoin. You can go to an exchange like Kraken or Coinbase or something like that. And then there are plenty of ways to sell your Bitcoin and get money that if you need it. And, you know, it's just like having an E-Trade bank account, right? So you may not have all of your savings at E-Trade. You may have it at your Bank of America. And the way you link those accounts is you just get your routing number and your checking account number. It's the same thing when you purchase Bitcoin. You go through the same process.
Amen. Amen. And I think this is still true. The banks are required, I think it's $10,000 per transaction. The banks have to tell the government about it. And the government's even asking now on tax forms, you know, have you bought sold Bitcoin? You know, so does a person have to inform the government of their cryptocurrency, you know, Bitcoin, and when we purchase it, or is it only when we sell it so they can tax the profits, or how's that work?
Well, I mean, legally, yes. The beauty of Bitcoin, though, is Bitcoin is a bearer asset. So you can take, when you purchase Bitcoin, you could move it off of an exchange and put it into what we call a hardware wallet. And, you know, no one has to know that, you know, you've taken your Bitcoin and put it into a hardware wallet. So you basically become your own bank. But, you know, if legally speaking, yes, do you have to report, you know, that you've purchase Bitcoin? Well, the exchange is going to report that you've bought $10,000 worth of Bitcoin. But if you move it off into a wallet and it sits there for 10 years and then you sell it, I mean, it depends on what the laws are in 10 years.
Amen. Okay. Well, I guess the foundation of what Bitcoin and cryptocurrency is. And before we get into the importance of possibly using Bitcoin in ministry, why should we be wary of the current financial system?
Because it's going to fail. It's a mathematical certainty that all fiat currencies, and let me just speak to what a fiat currency is. Our modern economic theory is what we call Keynesian economics. It was developed by John Maynard Keynes, who was not even an economist. He was actually an atheist and by some accounts a pedophile. And he influenced FDR's New Deal, and Keynesian economics runs the world. Okay. After World War II, the US became the world reserve currency through what was called the Bretton Woods Agreement. We were nominally backed by gold until Nixon took us off the gold standard in 1971. And then through a secret agreement with Saudi Arabia, we effectively have what's called the petrodollar now. But nothing backs the value of the dollar. So before 1971, you could walk into a bank and you could say this and this is not exactly accurate because at many points it was illegal to own gold, but theoretically you could walk into a bank and say, here's my $5 bill. I want $5 worth of gold. Now you know, walking into a bank, you know, imagine a young teller and you say you want $5 worth of gold. They're going to go, what? So, you know, we can't even do that now, right? Because there's nothing backing the dollar. And that's what a fiat currency is. Fiat means by decree. And as believers, we know that the only power that can create by decree is the Lord. So the government, the state, has taken over this power of fiat creation from nothing. And again, in the process, devalued our time. So that's the history of fiat. And I'm sorry, Robert, I forgot why I was explaining that. You were asked the question.
But about being wary of the current financial.
Okay. All right. In the last 100 years, there have been over 55 devaluations of fiat currencies. And if you look at fiat currencies on a chart, they all go to zero because they're not backed by anything. And the only way, essentially, the only way that governments can increase the value or maintain the value of a currency is by making more. And so if you're making more, but it's not backed by anything, then the value is going to go to zero. So it's a mathematical certainty that the US dollar will go to zero. Another certainty is that whenever there is a hard currency like gold or like Bitcoin that is competing against a soft currency like a fiat, the hard currency always wins. Okay, the market will always determine that the superior monetary money will win, and Bitcoin now will basically win against a devalued U.S. dollar. Period. I mean, it's a mathematical certainty.
Amen. 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 Now, you discuss on your podcast and blog that Christians and Christian ministries have a quote unquote moral obligation to adopt Bitcoin. What do you mean by that, and why is this a moral obligation?
Well, because as I studied everything that I just talked about, and obviously that was a very thumbnail sketch, but as I studied it more in depth and learning that why are believers participating in a system that was created by an atheist, a very corrupt individual. And if you look at the principles of fiat, creating from nothing, what does fiat do for us? It creates a consumer mindset where, you know, if you lived in Argentina or Turkey or Venezuela, you know that if you receive your, you know, bolivar or peso, the next day it's not going to be worth that much. You go out and you spend it as quickly as you can. We essentially do the same thing, but on a smaller scale. We spend our money and we don't save it because we know intuitively that if we save our money and put it into cash, then in 10 years, it's not going to be worth as much. If you look at the value of the US dollar, what can my US dollar purchase now versus what it could purchase, you know, in 1971? It's lost 95% of its value. Mm-hmm. So that creates what we call a high time preference. And as believers, high time preference, meaning not delaying gratification, but getting it now and now and now, it instills within us anti-Christian principles. The Lord wants us to delay gratification. The Lord wants us to, you know, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. The Lord wants us to take our time and spend time with Him. And if we're working multiple jobs or working longer hours because our money's not going as far as we want it to, you know, what are we giving up in the process? You know, we're giving up time with our family. We're giving up time in ministry. We're giving up time spending with the Lord. Those are anti-Christian principles. So if as you start learning that about our economic system, you realize you're trapped in a completely anti-Christian environment. Now, as believers, and we know this reading through the epistles with Paul and, you know, being transformed and renewed in our mind, we know that the spirit of this age is trying to always, you know, influence our thinking. But when you it's one thing for the spirit of the world to be influencing our thinking, but when the actual mechanical world is working against you, and if there's a way to get out of it, then I feel it's a moral obligation as Christians to do that. And the other really immoral, completely disgusting aspect of the fiat monetary system is what we call the cantilever effect and the multiplier effect. And these are direct results of Keynesian economics. So, and the fractional reserve banking. So basically how this works is if I want to take $100 and put it into a bank, because of the fractional reserve banking system, the bank doesn't have to keep 100% of my money in the bank. It keeps about 10%. And in really bad economic times, the Fed could come and say, you know, we want all this money to go into the economy, so we don't want you to hold any reserves. So a 0% reserve status. So if we think about a 10% fractional reserve banking system, which is typically what we've had, I take my $100 and put it into a bank. Through the multiplier effect, the bank will take that $100, they'll keep $10 in reserve, they'll loan out 90% of the money, and every time a bank loans money, they create money, okay? So if I get $100 and I put it into a bank, after three turns into a bank, it's created $343.90 in new money in the system, okay? So that's not just, okay? And the other thing is this effect called the Cantillon effect, so that those that are closest to the monetary spigot, so to speak, the big banks, the big industrial military complex, those that are biggest to the closest to the government, when new money, like with the stimulus bill, imagine, you know, $1 trillion is put into the economy and you've got this multiplier effect. You know, $1 trillion goes into a bank, but then they can loan out 90% of it. And every time they loan out 90%, they're issuing new debt. You can just see the gargantuan expansion of monetary inflationary policy. But those that are closest to the money spigot have the best ability to utilize that capital because they receive the money first. And as the money trickles down through the economy, when you and I finally get the money, as it's trickling down through the economy, inflation's already taken hold. So they buy an asset down here. As the money's inflating, the asset prices go up like this. You and I get the money and we buy the asset here. So there's a wide delta between, between what they're able to make and what we're able to make because they're closer to the money. And that's not just. And we know in Proverbs 11 that the Lord detests dishonest scales. So that's the moral case. That's the moral obligation that as Christians, once we understand this, we should take steps to get out of it. And that's what Bitcoin, you know, I've got nearly 100% of my net worth in Bitcoin, other than my house, in Bitcoin, because I refuse to participate in a system like that. It's just not just.
Amen. Amen. Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's portion of this great interview with Patrick Belder. Now, this is just part two of what turned into a great three-part interview, so you do not want to miss the conclusion of the interview in the next episode because it just gets better and better. It really does. What you need to do right now, though, is go down to the show notes and reach out to Dr. Patrick Belder. Listen to the podcast. Definitely, most definitely, order his book, The Christian Case for Bitcoin. Just click the links and begin to study this out for yourself, folks. I believe what you've heard today, you know, cryptocurrency is no longer just a fad. It's real. It's something, as you heard Patrick Belder discuss, that could be used by Christians, not if, but when a financial collapse happens. We see the handwriting on the wall already. Go down to the show notes, reach out to Patrick today, and be sure you order his book, The Christian Case for Bitcoin. Now, join us again on the next episode as we conclude this great interview with Dr. Patrick Belder. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Please subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified when another episode is published. With over 800 interviews and 1,000 published episodes, Pastor Bob is known as a podcasting expert for helping others to create their own podcast to share their messages with the world. Please visit our website at www.podcastersforchrist.com. That web address again is www.podcastersforchrist.com for more information. Until next time, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.